Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I've said this about the Cavs, Jason, that where we are with the Cavs, because the Browns are what the Browns are, because in fairness with the Guardians, like, that was a really fun season, but it's over now, and we'll see what they do next year. I think Cleveland fans just needed, I compared it to like a low commitment, just a fun rebound of a, let's just have some fun, play some good basketball.
Good first date.
And don't stress me the hell out.
Just a nice first date.
Yeah, no, we weren't
even
dating.
Go to the carnival.
No.
Go to the carnival, have some cotton candy.
No, this is a 3 a.m. you up text. That's what the Cavs are right
now.
The Cavs are just good booty. That's what the Cavs are right now. Just commitment free. Let's just enjoy good basketball. I'll worry about getting married. The playoffs coming up in like 4 months, 5 months, 6 months. Math is hard for me. That's where we are. Just let me get out of this toxic relationship I have with the 2024 Browns.
So when do you go to the carnival and eat cotton candy?
I mean,
January.
Whenever
December.
They say we got to go to the carnival or I'm not going to come over again, whenever they force the issue, right?
We have to do something outside the house.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I'm starting to doubt myself as a human being and my value. Okay. I'll take you to the freaking carnival. All right. But one cotton candy. No candy apples.
One Ferris wheel.
And you know what? I'll hold your hand for 5 minutes, but then we're back to the house.
One teddy bear game.
Yep. Yep. And if you don't get the teddy bear, we're not going. No, it's okay. We'll go to the store on the way home and I'll buy you a teddy bear instead of throwing another $10 at Carney's. But no, that's where I kind of feel like the Cavs are. I think the Cavs walk into the season at the perfect spot. And last night's game was the perfect, perfect example of that. Words are hard because of how you won. It was fast. There was great pacing, great spacing. Now I'm just rhyming. And, you know, Evan leading the way. I think those are the kind of things that now you can sit back. And even if you come out against Detroit on Friday and there's a clunker, hey, we had the Toronto game. And this is really like, I'm not wake me up in April. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is wake me up in January. Like, I'm giving them full breath to figure it out and understanding that now that I see a coach that can maybe have tighter restrictions on whether it's rotations or proof of concept on the offense or proof of concept on Evan being dominant, now I can kind of woosah and just chill until, you know, things start to tighten up around January or February.
Yeah, you can't live and die with every game. That's not how the NBA is built. That's not a smart way to go about it. They're going to win games that might surprise you, and they're going to lose games that you look around and say, how did they lose to that team? That's just the nature of how it goes. It's the process. Are you getting better? Are you figuring things out? Are you understanding what guys can do? And last night was a great start. It was a great start. And hope to see more of it. Hope they continue to play this way. And the thing that I like, I told you before the show, they are not running from the Evan component. They are putting pressure on him. They're telling him, we need more from you. We expect more from you. And I think that's a really good thing. Like, he's in year four. It's okay. It's okay to raise expectations on him. And from the day Kenny arrived, they have not hid from the fact that this is how they're going to play. They're going to focus him. They're going to feature him on offense. They know he can do more, and they expect him to deliver. And I think that's great because, you know, I understood what JB was saying, and I agreed with it a lot, that when you bring in a young player of his caliber, a lot of times it's on a really bad team. Mm-hmm. I've said this 100 times before. It's a bad team, and all you're doing is worrying about developing that guy. And you give him all the touches he wants and all the looks he wants because you want him to be really good. The Cavs were a unique situation where probably their best piece came last. And then you trade for Donovan. So once you trade for Donovan, you're only trying to win games. That's it. You're just trying to win basketball games. And the progression and the growth has to take a backseat to that. I thought they could have done more with him, but I understand not making him the focal point because you've got bigger fish to fry. And now you got Donovan on a long-term contract. You got everybody on a long-term contract. This is a good team. They could be number. I don't think they're better than three in the East as of right now, but the East is far different than the East was before. It's much more deep and balanced. Boston's really, really good, but there's no team out there that you look at and say the Cavs cannot beat that team. There's just a lot of teams that can also beat them. Mm-hmm. It's just the way of the NBA now. This is the new parity world that has never really existed before. So now you can sort of take this regular season to bring Evan along because you always had the pressure of Donovan. You got to re-sign Donovan. Well, you did that, and he's here. So now you can sort of reverse engineer this a little bit and now go back to Evan and get Evan brought up to speed to where he should have been probably 2 years ago. Does that make sense?
It does, and I think it's why – so there's – I really loathe the conversation around coaches and managers now where we've gone from they're solely responsible for winning and losing, and you fire them if the second you get the sense. Like, that's where we were 30 years ago in almost every sport, and now it is, well, they're just a cog in a machine, and how much does it really matter, especially in the NBA? But there is coaching, which I think eases the relationship between Donovan and development, and then there's coaching style, which I think is maybe what you're pointing to. And that doesn't mean that JB, again, isn't a good coach. That you don't do what he did with this team, take them from where they were, I mean, in the ashes of LeBron's second run, to being a team that is capable of going to the second round of the playoffs.
In the ashes of the John Beilein embarrassment, yes, of running off the job halfway through his first year here. That was embarrassing. Yeah. They were in a bad spot.
Well, and that could have set them back like 3 years if you go to the wrong coach at that moment.
And he and JB lifted them out of the darkness and did a lot of really, really good things that I hope fans can appreciate. Maybe you need more time to pass. Maybe 5 years from now you can look back on it and see it might still be too close to realize kind of what it was when he walked in and when he took over to where it was when he left. He did a lot of really, really good things here. He's not the perfect coach. He's not the best coach in the NBA. But he served a really good purpose for where they were at and where they needed him to take them, and he did it very well.
Well, and I actually agree, despite being one of the foremost get this guy out of here in town.
Yeah.
Because I do think, like, it's not an impossible position. Every team, every coach in the NBA would say, hey, we're in the play-in. Now we're going to add Donovan Mitchell. Yes, that's a problem you want to have.
Right.
But it does come with its own complexities. And it did ask of something of JB that he had not been asked to do. And trying to balance those two things. So this is less, ah, bleep JB, and it's more, okay, fresh voice, saying a message in maybe a different way. And I think that's where, again, yesterday, and I agree with you, and I'm glad you pointed it out, even though I jammed you up about it. It is one game, but it is proof of concept. And now we come back with Evan and go, how many times can we get that? Because
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Donovan can't do it all, you know, and it's tough for a superstar when I think there were points, and maybe you can speak to this or shoot it down. I think there were points last year where Donovan's trying to be a little bit of everything for everyone, setting the tone in the locker room with the way he was talking about that didn't necessarily jive, by the way, with what JB was saying. And, you know, trying to encourage Darius and Evan to kind of get theirs and be more authoritative. And that's not what I want. Like, I want Donovan to be a leader. I want him to help push whatever the coach wants and you know, funnel that message. I don't want him to have to drive that message. And I think that's what puts, I think finally maybe Donovan can just be like the best player on a basketball team again.
Well, Donovan is an undersized guard. He's not big.
Wait, what?
He's not LeBron. He's not Giannis. He's not Jokic. He's a little guard. It's hard to win when your best player is a little guard. And people can get upset at that. They can get mad at that. That's the reality. History has indicated. Yes, you can throw Steph Curry up there. Okay, fine. He was the greatest shooter in the history of the world, surrounded by some of the greatest talent ever assembled on one team. You can throw Isaiah Thomas out there. Again, it's an anomaly. More times than not, it's very difficult to win a championship when you have a small guy. And Donovan wore down. He had the knee throughout the second half of the season. He was not in shape. He told you he wasn't in shape in the playoffs. He was not in very good shape. And then he had the calf on top of that. And he played a career high in minutes under JB, but it wasn't like he was leading the league in minutes. It was just a career high for him. But again, he's not built like some of these other superstars in the NBA. So that matters. And that's why I go back and say that you need Evan to be the number one. I totally believe you. The Cavs have proven you could be a really good team with Donovan as the number one player, as the number one option. Darius is the number two option. You can be a really good team. But I believe there is a ceiling to how far you can go when you are driven by an undersized backcourt. When that is what is propelling you, you are not going to get to a championship level. You need something else. You need a playmaking wing. This league is driven on playmaking dominant wings. They haven't had one since 23 left. And they're trying to do it sort of a different way. But that's why Evan's development is so important to this. Because you can be a playoff team. They've proven. You can go to the playoffs. You can win series in the playoffs. I'd argue you could even win two series if the matchups fall right. But you will not win the Eastern Conference Finals and you will not win an NBA championship if Darius and Donovan are what you are relying on to get you there. You need something bigger, something with more size, something that can handle more of the grind of the NBA. How many times have we seen Darius go down? How many times have we seen Donovan with nagging injuries that have impacted him? Size matters in the NBA, and you need stars.
Thank God you said in the NBA.
But you need stars. That's why it's such a wing-driven league. It's some of the bigger guys that lead these teams to titles. Look at Tatum and Brown.
It's also so weird because I think the Cavs were beset by perceptional issues too. The NBA is the idea of dealing and kind of helping somebody fix their rough edges. I think there was a perception, and again, this is something you can speak to or not, that the Cavs were in a situation where at some point they were going to have to break up Donovan and Darius. I still think that will be the reality. But Evan playing really well allows you to change the perception on the Cavs because it doesn't put them in a position of desperation if Evan and Donovan are on the same level, even if Donovan's still the 1A versus the 1B.
Yeah. I actually, if something has to get broken up, I actually think it's the front court more than the back court.
Ooh, I like that. I think that's really interesting.
Because I think Donovan, no one was talking about the fit between Donovan and Darius 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
No, yep. It was only last year. Yep. And it was last year because Darius was having an awful season. And he was having an awful season for a lot of different factors. But I think Donovan and Darius, now, outside forces may force them to break that up. And we wrote about that in May. And that's still hovering. Like, they didn't trade Darius, but that whole thing is still hovering, lurking in the distance. Let's put it that way. But in terms of on-court fit, I'm still more concerned with Jarrett and Evan in the front court than I am Darius and Donovan in the back court. And we'll see. Now, if Evan starts shooting 36% from three and taking 5 or 6 threes a game, all right, maybe some of those fit issues go away. But we haven't seen that. That's still another piece that's yet to come from all of this, is he has to shoot. I think, what did he take last night? I think he took 2.
Mm-hmm.
He has to take more than 2. I might be wrong on that. Double check me. I think he took 2 3-pointers last night. And it's only the first game. It's fine. It's totally fine. But as we progress in this, as this goes, that number needs to get higher.
So I agree that Evan shooting threes can alleviate some of that. I still think Evan shooting those threes as the 5 makes them the most dangerous.
I said last year, whenever I would talk to teams around the league about the Cavs, nobody ever talked about Jarrett. Yeah. It was always Evan surrounded by 4 shooters. That's how everyone saw the future of the Cavs playing out. Evan at the 5, 4 shooters around him. And then it takes a lot of the pressure off him having to develop that 3-point shot if he's at the 5.
216-474-0092 at Nick Wilson says, at by Jason Lloyd, social media reactions on X. Powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Bruce in Strongsville, you stick there. How does last night's Evan Mobley change the Cavs' ceiling? And dad to dad, Nick to Jason, next on 92.3 The Fan.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.